This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Welcome to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of low-budget cinema.
The sleep of reason gives birth to monsters.
Hi, my name's Chris, and along with Jeff, we're bringing you the very best and worst of horror, sci-fi, post-apocalyptic wasteland, kung fu, and women in prison movies from the 1960s to today. Check us out at reallyawfulmovies.com, part of the Crypt TV family.
From our downtown Toronto headquarters, here's episode 64, Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse.
Roadhouse. Roadhouse, baby.
Yeah.
I gotta say, man. Every action hero worth their salt has to have a nemesis. Am I right?
This is true.
There is no good without evil.
Yep.
Yes?
James Bond has his Blofeld.
You got it, man. John McClane has his Hans Gruber.
Yes.
Rocky Balboa had his...
Apollo Creed.
He has his Drago.
Yeah.
RoboCop had his Clarence Boddicker. Mike Ransom had Dakota.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Who does...
Dalton
from Roadhouse have...
As Brad Wesley,
mm-hmm.
a septuagenarian, ascot-wearing, 98-pound man.
Indie film legend from Cassavetes movies. John Cassavetes movies. Ben Gazzara.
Yeah. I mean, this is okay. So Patrick Swayze,
does not cut an imposing figure.
Swayze or Gazzara?
Neither. The world's smallest bouncer.
The world's smallest bouncer, better known for, lifting Jennifer Grey up in the air. Versus, the man better known for his Cassavetes movies. Mm-hmm. Now, what I gotta say, Roadhouse is a marvelous piece of fromage, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this movie it presents a battle of the ages, as I said before, between James Dalton and Brad Wesley. There's so much collateral damage. There's so many deaths.
This could have been resolved so easily.
But I want to say, for what?
Yeah.
What are they fighting for, man? A piece of real estate.
Yeah.
Really? What? Why? Where? I don't understand.
Well, this antagonist is a real estate developer who, for some reason, sees incredible potential in this podunk town.
Jasper,
who knows where. I don't know where it is. It's got mountains.
He's bringing in JCPenney there.
Yeah, he's bought all sorts of businesses. He name drops. There's lots of product placement in this thing. There's a JCPenney. There's a Valvoline. There's tons of things. Anyway, this could have all been resolved. This could all been resolved through the courts, or just making a little offer to the owner of the bar that's above what he was asking, and everyone could have gone on their merry way, and they could have gentrified this town. But no, these business owners here are putting together a united front against this developer to fend off what they perceive to be this intrusive force buying up their town.
Not just buying up their town, but demanding protection money and blowing up things willy-nilly. How many businesses did he blow up? How many monster trucks did he drive into car dealerships?
He could have gone to another town and bought that up, and one that would not have put
this
up so much resistance.
This town didn't even have a Starbucks or a Walmart.
No.
I mean, honestly.
It all centers around this, initially, when the credits roll, it's this club called The Bandstand.
Right.
And as is the case for every movie we've ever seen, and we've been to a number of concerts in our day.
Yeah.
We've seen everyone from Bob Dylan to
Pink Floyd, anything. Rolling Stones.
No one we've seen has had an audience that's so into it as any movie you see from the 80s or 90s.
Like
a bar full of 200 people, fist pumping, jumping in the air, just doing
clapping in unison,
calisthenics.
As if it's
the great
Queen at
Wembley.
To some generic Tijuana bar band singing
Stones.
Like you see on Miami Connection, everyone's clapping along in unison.
The club owner of a competing bar in another
town. And before you say, I gotta say, the other thing about movies is always the one song concert. You know, yeah. Like recently I watched, this has nothing to do with Roadhouse, but I watched Purple Rain.
Yes.
Okay? Have you seen Purple Rain?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Movie. I mean, it's basically, you know, Prince's band, which is like, he's called The Kid, right?
Yeah.
And versus Morris Day and the Time, right? And it's like, okay, who's gonna get the prime slot in this club, right? And it's
very
all based
connection.
On one
yeah.
song.
Yeah.
So you play that one song that's gonna make or break you. And again, yes, very much like Miami Connection.
Yeah,
fight the ninja!
Yeah, well, here, like, the bandstand is being run with extreme efficiency by what's known in bar circles as a cooler.
And also casinos.
Yeah, and casinos. And the cooler is the guy who oversees the security and runs the, the goings-on and the behind-the-scenes of the club. And in this case, it's Dalton. You know, James Dalton, and he's played by, of course, Patrick Swayze. And who knew that this position required a headhunter? Like, this was such a coveted position. Mm-hmm. In this bandstand bar, the owner of a competing bar goes to this bar
which
to get
like
some...
Which is eight states over.
Yeah, just to recruit... This is some meathead, and like, you know,
Kansas
bouncer.
City, that's where the. That's
yeah,
where
and the sports. Bouncers are what, a dime a dozen. These guys have an IQ of 80. You just substitute one guy who,
one
in an ill.
For another.
Yeah, one meathead roided up in an ill fitting suit. You just replace him for another. But no, this guy has a plane ticket already purchased for Dalton so that he can come and, like, work his club. I don't know, you were saying, like, what name did he put on this plane ticket?
Exactly.
He can't
like,
fly with an open-ended ticket.
I got your ticket right here. It's like, you need to have a name on the boarding pass, you know what I mean? You guys didn't even...
And a date, yeah.
Yeah, like, exactly.
And the presumption is this guy will drop everything in life to just... Accept this guy's offer.
Kansas City to be a cooler. Now, the reason I say casino is because there was that movie with William H. Macy called
The
Cooler.
The Cooler, yeah.
Where it was a different
movie.
Sort of cooler, mm-hmm. where he was basically a man that had such bad luck, so he was meant to, like, you know, go to a table that was, like, you know, hot and cool it down.
Yeah.
Whereas the cooler in this world of Roadhouse, this ridiculous world, is supposed to cool down, you know, any sort of...
Yeah,
like,
cool down the tension. Yeah, simmering tension.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, you know, cool it down, man. Cool down.
Cool down.
Cool down. And, of course, he lives by three rules, which we'll talk about in a moment or two.
Yeah.
But, I mean... Yeah, so he goes there. He's like, apparently there's only one cooler with salt in the entire United States of America.
Yeah.
This is Dalton. And yeah, so he gives him an open-ended ticket, and Dalton just drops everything and flies out to
Kansas City. Ish. Yeah. Looks like the middle of Iowa or California or God knows what. It's in the middle of the mountains. There's no city to be seen. But...
No.
And the bar in this... In this town is, which sounds like a really intensive poop, but it's called the Double Deuce, and the Double Deuce is populated by a motley crew of just demi-monde, like, backwoods, criminal, drunken idiots, and they have a musical act, and it's... has to be protected by chicken wire to prevent,
like
getting
Blues Brothers, right?
Yeah, or like Hank Williams back in the day, where they'd be pelted with whiskey highball glasses and beer bottles and everything. Yeah. So to protect the band, they have chicken wire.
And this is for a little bit of CanCon, because of course we're broadcasting from our
CanCon is of course a Canadian content mandated by the federal government here that entertainment has to have a certain amount of Canadian talent.
Yes, this is the Jeff Healey band.
Yes,
that's playing behind said chicken wire, mm-hmm. and the Jeff Healey band were. Unfortunately, I mean, I will say, unfortunately, a number of principals in this movie have passed on. Patrick Swayze, may he rest in peace.
Yes, and Jeff Healey, may he rest in peace as well. Yeah, a superb guitar player.
Yeah, they
blind from birth.
They had a cup of coffee of success in Canada and even in America because they had the hit "Angel Eyes," which hit number 5 on the Billboard charts. But I mean. There's a club called Healy's. I mean,
yeah,
it's
down
no
the street from us here.
No longer there. Like, it's been out of business. I mean, but it's still there. Like, it's, you know, the facade of Healy's is there. Jeff. So we have this blind singer, you know, Jeff Healey, and I think he pretty much plays himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sitting there. You know, his trademark was that he sits down and he has his guitar in his.
Yeah, he plays his guitar on his lap, obviously, because he's, you know, well, not maybe obviously, but he's blind and he can't play it normally. And he plays more by feel than by look, so he plays it on his lap. And He's the house entertainment for the Double Deuce.
So, poor guy. I mean, I just feel so bad for Jeff Healey. I mean, for one thing, I mean, he's no longer with us. He died early, you know, of pancreatic cancer.
Yes.
I believe it was. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Patrick Swayze died of pancreatic cancer. Yes. That, yeah. I know. Anyway. But, I mean, I always have sympathy for blind people. Of all the handicaps, I don't know what it is, but I always have, my heart goes out more towards blind than, let's say...
than the lame or the otherwise infirm or the deaf or anything, yeah.
And poor Jeff Healey, after ripping into a wonderful version of, like, you know, Confidence Man, which was a hit here in Canada in, like, 1987, you know, he says, okay, well, we're going to take a 10-minute break to drain the main vein. And the poor guy gets a beer ball thrown at him.
Yeah. I mean, come on. What is good entertainment.
What did Jeff Healey do to deserve this? Now, we should say at this point... Dalton is observing. All he's doing is sitting back and observing.
Yeah, drinking black coffee and watching how the security detail works the Double Deuce.
And the security.
And we should say, like, this security here is on par with, like, the Rolling Stones Altamont concert for efficacy.
Last night I had Indian food and then I had a Double Deuce.
Yeah, this bar, like, my God, you know, before this guy's arrival, it's just a complete free-for-all. They're... you know, as is the case in any movie worth its salt that has a bar fight, as soon as one person punches another, it seems like 40 people just automatically take part in this melee. Like, who had nothing to do with it. Just peripherally. Like, everyone just dives right in.
You and I mean, we frequent a bar or two, right? We like bars, right? Mm-hmm. I've never been in a bar where there's been a bar fight. Have you?
I've been in a bar fight, but never with 40 principals.
But, I mean, like, I've never actually been in a bar where somebody's thrown a punch, and then, like, the entire bar
drops what they're doing, you know, halts all conversation, and just gets involved in the melee.
All I'm saying is, if you and I were at one of our local bars we'd like to go to, you know, and somebody at a table behind me threw a punch, I would look
and
at you
a chair.
And say,
yeah, let's get the hell out of here.
Let's get the fuck out of here. Yeah. All of a sudden, it's like, you know, throw a haymaker at the guy sitting next to me, you know? But no,
and what did the guy sitting next to you ever do?
Nothing.
Like, nothing.
It's a bar fight, you know?
Yeah.
But they have great security.
At this bar, they have, I don't know if our listeners are fans of wrestling. We're big-time fans of wrestling. The head of security is none other than terrible Terry Funk. Sort of a Western cowboy gimmicked, you know.
Well, he's a hardcore legend, for God's sakes. Yeah,
yeah. A Texan who feuded with just about everybody in the late 70s, early 80s in wrestling.
Famous for his feuds with death matches with Mick Foley, where they were fighting barbed wire and, you know, oh, God, Terry Funk. And, I mean, the guy's been in a number of movies. I mean, he was in a number of Stallone movies. He was in Paradise Alley. He was in Over the Top. And we were talking about wrestlers because, I mean, how big they are, because in the world of wrestling... Terry Funk was not a big wrestler. He was
not when you could compare him to the likes of Kane or The Undertaker, like guys who were like 6'7", 6'9".
Yeah, he's brought it up.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Terry Funk was a bit on the smaller side, but in this movie, he's like head and shoulders and literally taller than everybody else.
For sure.
He's enormous.
And so, you know, obviously the security detail is not functioning because there's a brawl involving 40 to 50 people. There's chairs thrown everywhere, tables overturned, bottles broken.
People thrown into mirrors, of course.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And
oh, yeah, that's the other thing that always happens, man. Like, if there was a bar fight, grab a beer, a ball of beer, that's always just sitting there.
Yeah, it's always just sitting there, and it always breaks over someone's head. And, like, a beer bottle is pretty damn solid.
And all
solid.
It takes is one whack.
Yeah, one whack. Boom. You know? we're big fans of this show on
Spike
Television called Bar Rescue. And at this point, Dalton comes in to oversee things, and he sort of figures out what's working and what isn't in the bar. And he figures out what isn't, and that's most of the staff, you know, the bulk of whom he fires instantly
for various transgressions. This is an episode of Bar Rescue. Steroids at this point.
Bar Rescue is basically like... Kitchen Nightmares with Gordon Ramsay, where, like, the star goes into a business, sees what's going wrong and how he can improve it. So it's a big, you know, fairly popular reality show. And
hosted by John Taffer, who's a bar expert. Well, Dalton is, like, you know, your roided up version of John Taffer.
Yeah. He comes in, he spots, like, you know, a bartender pocketing a 10 surreptitiously.
Another one selling drugs.
Yeah.
What did he say about that? There was this line, chemically something or other. Come on, dude.
Oh, man. There's too many trustees of modern chemistry in this bar. So yeah, like very, people, you know, double dealing at the Double Deuce, you know, and making money on the side through various nefarious underhanded means. So he comes in, and he just cleans house. He fires, you know, a good, you know, 6 to 7 staff. Yeah. And, of course, this doesn't endear him.
Although they do get severance, I got to say. There's an envelope that the owner of the bar actually gives them, which is nice. You know?
Yeah. And so what we've got here is, you know, again, you know, Dalton has taken on this Herculean task of fixing this bar.
And he
you know, makes it a commitment to fix this place and live nearby. So he procures accommodation,
right?
And
right.
He pays, what is it, $100 a month to rent. Live above a barn, you know, rented to by this,
well,
this some hillbilly.
Well, it's kind of a palatial loft. It actually looked rather nice. I mean, for $100 a month, it was a bit of a steal, but...
And he says to his prospective landlord, who's this, you know, backwoods, overalls wearing hick, he keeps calling him sir, and the landlord says, boy, calling me sir is like a putting an elevator in an outhouse.
it just doesn't go. There's so many lines.
So
in
many
movie.
Classic lines. Yeah.
Now, when Dalton is basically, you know, laying down the law. Right?
Yeah, he's got three rules,
three maxims, three credos, three ways to live. Okay, it's like Fight Club. You know, the first rule of Fight Club you know, there's also whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
don't talk about Fight Club. Whatever.
Yeah. Number one, never underestimate your opponent.
No.
Number two, take it outside.
And number three, be nice. Yeah,
always be nice.
Yeah. Be nice. Come on. If somebody gets in your face and calls you a cocksucker, I want you to be nice.
Okay.
Ask him to walk, but be nice. If he won't walk, walk him, but be nice. If you can't walk him, one of the others will help you, and you'll both be nice. I want you to remember that it's a job. It's nothing personal.
Uh-huh. Been called a cocksucker in personal?
No. It's two nouns combined to elicit a prescribed response.
I wonder if somebody calls my mama a whore.
Is she? I want you to be nice until it's time to not be nice.
Well, how are we supposed to know when that is?
You won't. I'll let you know.
When do you stop being nice?
When it's time to not be nice. So it stands to reason.
Exactly.
Amazing, yeah.
Absolutely incredible. Yeah. Incredible.
Very zen.
Speaking of zen, I mean, you know, with Dalton, he likes to practice Tai Chi, you know, in the early morning. Although, you know, there's no Tai Chi in his repertoire of martial arts.
No.
It's just a bunch of knee kicks.
Yeah.
That's another maxim of Dalton's, isn't it?
Yeah, no matter how big they are, they can always be felled by a shot in the knee. I'm paraphrasing here, obviously. And any action hero worth his salt, again, needs an antagonist, but they also need a love interest.
Right.
And inexplicably, he hits it off with a local doctor.
A doctor, yes. Why does he see the doctor?
Because he gets knifed in a bar fight.
In a bar, of course. Because, you know, in all the bars that we frequent, I mean, everyone's packing a knife.
Yes.
And we like dive bars, but yeah. I mean, like, dude, carries his medical file with him. But what's funny is that when we first sort of meet him, when he's talking to the guy that asked him to come to his bar, he's tending to his own wound. He's sticking it up himself.
A la McLean from Die Hard.
Exactly. But now when you see his medical attention, so he's got his medical record, which just happens to have his college transcript in it.
Because that's what you need. You need blood type. You need, maybe allergies to... Yeah, next of kin, allergies to certain medication, and what you studied as an undergraduate.
I see that you're an NYU graduate of philosophy. Well, I mean, and this is standard practice procedure. Yeah.
As you're going through the questions. Yeah.
Well,
do you have a history of drug abuse? Do you have any heart issues in your family?
What's your undergraduate degree? You know, any postgrad studies? You know, no. I mean, she is a fairly attractive, albeit orange, doctor in this podunk town.
And this comes to the great line.
The
line of the film. And there's many great ones, but this is the very zen line of pain don't hurt.
Yes. He's about to give him some anesthesia, anesthetic, and he goes, no, he refuses. He goes, aren't you afraid of pain? He goes, pain don't hurt.
And then later he follows that, maxim, that axiomatic line with, nobody ever wins a fight.
That's there right. You if they win the fight, nobody ever wins a fight.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready to have your mind blown, Chris?
Yeah, I am ready.
This is like a Zen koan sort of thing, okay? They say if a tree falls in the forest, it doesn't make a sound if nobody's around to hear it, that sort of thing. Well, the whole essence of pain, how we know it's pain, is that it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
If pain doesn't hurt, is it still pain?
Wow. I was not aware of that teleology and that circularity. My mind is blown.
Dalton, this is the Zen master. Pain that doesn't hurt, is it still pain?
I don't know. But does a hobby horse have a wooden dick?
That's another great line.
This movie is just replete with one-line zingers. But as things progress, obviously.
How about I got married to an ugly woman? Don't ever do that. It takes the energy right out of you.
Yeah, yeah.
I would think being married to a beautiful woman would take everything right out of you because you'd be stripping her enough times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
true enough.
Anyway.
Well, as things escalate, you have not only the principal antagonist, this nefarious land developer, but all the people who've been unceremoniously turfed from this bar. And what? They can't seek any other employment, that they're so bitter and jaded that they have to fight this guy to get their jobs back and put him in physical peril to do so? I mean, come on. There's got to be other gigs you can get. Anyway,
there's a JCPenney coming to town. Yeah. I mean, thanks to Brad Wesley.
Yeah,
So, I mean, at least I can get a gig at JCPenney, maybe menswear or something, or like appliances. But have we mentioned who plays Brad Wesley?
Yes, Ben Gazzara.
Ben Gazzara? Yeah. Ben Gazzara. Let's talk about slumming, man.
This guy is pretty bad.
An incredible actor. He's in one of our mutual favorite movies.
Yeah, The Killing of a Chinese Bookie, yeah. Right? Which was the inspiration for Martin Scorsese's Mean Streets. Mm-hmm. Just an amazing movie.
Also he was the accused in Otto Preminger's Anatomy of a Murder. I mean, this is an actor.
He's a legend.
Unparalleled. And in this movie, I mean, he could not be more, just slumming it.
Yeah.
And C, less like a suitable nemesis for an action hero, then, it's insane, insane. So, he's running rampant over town. I mean, he's blowing things up.
Yeah,
I mean, he's setting fire. He's
He's like a one-man Hell's Angels.
Literally.
He's a wrecking crew,
He's a wrecking crew, dude. He's blowing up Swayze's landlord's house.
The hardware store. It's everything.
He's got some sort of, like, Bigfoot-esque monster truck going through the car dealership. Again, for what? Meanwhile, the Double Deuce has gentrified.
Yes, okay? Under Dalton's watch, they've brought in a less rough around the edges crowd.
I would say more douchey crowd, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I would prefer to go to the Double Deuce before gentrification. I mean, gone is the chicken wire.
Yeah.
Now we got a fucking neon sign, same band. It's still the Jeff
Ewing band. It's received a big upgrade, gentrification Double Deuce, for sure.
But it's like, now
it's more upmarket.
Now they're gonna be selling fancy margaritas and martinis and all that.
Yeah, and they have a new bartender as well, who we've known from. Well, speaking of wrestlers, like Terrible Terry Funk, we love a movie called They Live.
Keith David
has two lines in this movie.
Is a wonderful actor who was in They Live with Rowdy Piper. We talked on the previous podcast, an incredible fight scene. He was also in John Carpenter's The Thing. The guy is behind the bar of the gentrified.
Yeah, he's basically he's conscripted to hand Dalton a phone, and that's about it.
And he literally is in the movie for a cup of coffee. So
there you go.
Sam Elliott. Mm-hmm. Sam Elliott plays Wade Garrett, who's the
mentor. He's the sensei. The ultimate.
He's the coolest
bouncer.
Of the cooler.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you get cooler than cool? What's cooler than cool? Ice cold.
Yeah.
He's the coldest. He's the iciest.
He's got ice running through his veins.
Well, apparently, Dalton can't cool the bar enough, so he gets his buddy to come down to this fucking podunk town. Poor guy. I mean, this guy was, had a pretty good life looking at some, a pair of titties in a wet t-shirt contest in his car back home. this is going to be the end of him, because he ends up dying and getting killed in this, like, this turf
yeah,
war. For God knows what, man. For this desert town and fucking... Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, man. Like, this movie is just absurdly...
Yeah.
Irritating. It's
they take the scantest of plot and they stretch it out
for
2 hours. Yeah.
Yeah. But maybe they thought the audience would be pondering the whole pain don't hurt Zen Koan for about that time, so they wouldn't realize how ridiculous it is. Anyway, Sam Elliott, the cooler, comes in the mentor, which leads us to another great line. You know, the mentor saying to the mentee, "You've taught me as much as I've taught you."
Okay, yeah.
You remember that one?
Yeah.
Another great line is when, you know, Brad Wesley has a posse, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this posse's there to just cause...
His muscle.
Yeah, his muscle. Although, I mean, one of the, you know, his lead muscle is a guy walking around in pleated pants and a tucked-in polo shirt.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of denim and a lot of pleated pant badassery in this movie.
Yeah. And when they come into the bar, this is the new Double Deuce, the just for Double Deuce, and they want to have a bit of... You know, they want to cause a bit of shit, but then, Dalton comes up and goes, "What are you doing here? Oh, we're here to have fun." "You're too stupid to have fun." Snaps his foot.
Yes, he snaps his foot because he was tipped off by a razor blade gleaming in the light of the flashing bud sign. And it was, a razor blade affixed to the end of this guy's foot. Like, we were talking about Blofeld earlier. My God, there's a weapon right there. Shoe weapon with a blade in it.
Now,
that was very Bond, right?
Talk about being tipped off. Let's talk about the Oracle Jeff Healy.
Yeah, Jeff Healy, you know, he was blind, but he had his ear to the ground because he seems to be like, he said, like Oracle from Greek antiquity. He knows everything that's going on.
Right.
It was concerning this double-dealing, two-timing gangster. He knows
who's in cahoots with who.
Yes.
He knows who's there, who's doing what.
He knows people just by their voice. And
yes, you know, when Sam Elliott makes his appearance, and afterwards, when he finishes playing whatever stupid generic blues number he's playing, with that awful waitress doing the rendition of Wilson Pickett, or whatever.
Yeah, Knock on Wood, yeah. Is this awful?
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Wade Garrett.
Yeah. and he
Ladies
described...
and gentlemen, Mr. Conway Twitty.
Yes. And he described Dalton earlier in the movie with, "You fuck with him, he'll seal your fate." So yeah, this guy, he knows what's up.
Yes. So, I mean, this, again, this is like all leading to this gigantic...
Climactic battle, yeah.
Where there's so much collateral damage, so much damage to property, so much damage to human... People are dying left, right, and center... I'm asking you again, Chris.
And nary a law enforcement official is called. You would think after the first stabbing,
right,
you would put the word out and say, "This guy's not allowed on the premises."
Until about minute 118 of a 120-minute movie, there's some law enforcement. But, I mean...
And even they arrive too late, the ultimate shootout.
But I'm asking you, like, for what? What are they fighting for, man? Like, I don't understand. At one point...
Who knew being a cooler was so lucrative?
The doc says to Dalton, like, you know, "What are you doing? Like, just go." He goes, "I never lose.
Yeah.
He's got to stay." But earlier he said, "There's no winners in war," or "There's no winners in a fight." So what's going on here, man? It's blowing my mind. I don't understand. The Zen of Dalton is completely beyond my comprehension. I mean, talk about, like, you know, your most esoteric religion ever, your most, you know, impenetrable riddle.
Yeah,
you know,
wrapped in an enigma, wrapped in Dalton.
Roadhouse is the most impenetrable riddle.
Yes.
It is the unanswerable question.
Dalton's victories are Pyrrhic victories. He takes a lot of abuse and comes out on top at the end.
And rips a lot of throats out.
Yeah, well, that's a great segue into what we learned. Because I learned that... You can rip out someone's larynx with a bare hand.
Yeah.
And in one of the fight scenes, what he does with the claw, right out of, you know, Kung Fu, the cobra just grabs the guy's neck, pulls it right out. Unbelievable.
Yeah. And what I love, and this is near the end of the movie when everything's coming to a head, and I mean, after he does tear out that larynx, he sort of looks at his hands like, What have these hands done? And then, of course, just like, you know, Mike Ransom went, "Chuck, hold down!" He goes, Wesley! Yeah. Fuck you!
Yeah. Oh, another thing I learned is if you put a wrestler in a movie, they have to do a wrestling move. So we got Terrible Terry Funk, who does no fewer than 2 military presses, picking up bar flies by, you know, by the scruff of their neck and by their groin, hoisting them up above his head and tossing them over the nearest bar table. Mm-hmm. So incredible. And 3.5 star all the way for me here.
Oh,
this
okay.
has been on TV numerous times, seemingly every, you know, sort of dog day of summer. This thing is on like Fox Television in the afternoon or something, you know. This is just a classic, you know. And who knew, again, with all the you know, truncated, expurcated versions that make their way onto network television. Mm-hmm. But my God, how many titties were there in this movie? At the outset, one guy like pimps out his girlfriend and says, "Oh, you know, pay me $10 and you can feel her titties." And there's just a litany of breasts, from the developer throws a party to just seeming there's a wet T-shirt contest. Mm-hmm. There must have been at least 20 to 30 pairs of tits in this movie.
Bevy of boobies.
Yeah. Indeed,
yeah,
indeed.
Well, I'll tell you what I learned, dude. Like, I mean,
if Roadhouse is a cat house. My God. Okay, what did you learn?
In the road, baby, road.
Row.
No, I mean, did they even say? I think
they do sing Roadhouse by the Doors.
Yeah. I learned a couple things. First of all, I learned, you know, I got a beer right in front of me. I'm going to just drop a little of Future Austin Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, for Patrick Swayze.
And Ben Gazzara.
And Jeff Healey.
Okay,
yeah.
So there
may
we
they
go.
Rest
you
in
know,
peace.
May they rest in peace. Yep. Yeah. Anyway, what I've learned is every movie where there's a sort of a bad guy, you know, developer, whatever, so, you know, he's always got to have a posse, right?
Yeah.
It's muscle, right? In every posse, there's always some ineffectual fat guy that is so out of shape that they can barely go up a flight of stairs, let alone lay a beat.
Hey,
you know?
Hey, if Tony Soprano had big pussy, then although that guy could at least lay a beating down, this guy could barely catch his breath. This guy, he must have been at least 400 pounds wearing suspenders.
Yeah.
Just completely ineffectual, useless.
As
but
I said before.
Even his biggest goon, like... McDonald, whatever his name was, Ben Gazzara, all the 5-6 of them, lays a beating down on this guy for not towing the line.
But I mean,
so
okay.
about a bad boss to work for.
So yeah, so that's what I learned is that Donald's gonna have an ineffectual fat guy that can't even go up one flight of stairs without, like, you know, gasping for breath in your posse. And but the other thing again is, like, at the end of the day, and this is not what I learned, this is just like this is insane, is that it comes down, and I'm going to repeat this, to a climactic fight between Patrick Swayze, who may not be the biggest, he's like Schwarzenegger, but he, I mean, the guy was ripped,
yeah,
okay?
He's ripped, yeah,
and he was about what, maybe 30,
five, yeah,
five, maybe 30, 32, whatever.
Yeah, maybe 5'10, 5'11,
maybe 6'4,
yeah.
Versus Ben Gazzara, okay? A 70-year-old art house actor.
Yeah, yeah.
Wearing ascot.
Yeah, and wielding like a derringer. You know?
Yeah, I mean, come on, dude.
Yeah, plays little like starter pistols for a 100-meter dash. Another line I used to... another thing I learned is a line doled out by one of the principal baddies, who's the second to last guy left standing after this... the body count that rivals like anything in Shakespeare or like the Biker Wars. This guy uses it to intimidate, or Rambo, to intimidate Dalton. He says, and I quote, "I used to fuck guys like you in prison."
And that's
what the fuck? what a way to come out. And this was the guy who was sporting like a crucifix around his neck and head to toe in denim. And okay, and for our foreign listeners, head to toe in denim is known as known in these parts as a Canadian tuxedo.
Yeah.
So yeah, denim jacket, denim jeans. But this guy, yeah, couldn't be any less badass than he. Unbelievable.
I'm sorry, I'm sticking up there. What a way to come out. You know? I mean, forget about Caitlyn Jenner on the cover of Vanity Fair, you know? This is like,
this is a way to come out, yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my God.
Entertaining.
Yeah, anyway.
Way. So, a star rating for me, man. I'm going to give this one 3 kicks in the knee.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe 3.5.
3.5 for
it's
sure.
Awesome.
It's an incredible classic.
And, yeah, I got to say, man, oh, God. Roadhouse. Roadhouse!
Roadhouse.
Do you remember Family Guy? Peter Griffin?
Yeah. Yeah.
Roadhouse. Yeah.
Yes, this has left an incredible ripple effect into pop culture.
Indeed.
An amazing movie. And for more, check out our website, www.reallyawfulmovies.com, part of the Crypt TV family. Reviews Monday, Wednesday, sometimes Thursday, and podcasts every week, every Saturday. Check us out, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.